Today on Time in the Word with Dr. Miguel Gonzalez.
Spiritual maturity requires, on the part of the Christian, commitment. Without our participation in the process of sanctification, we will not grow and experience life as God meant it to be experienced.
Welcome to Time in the Word, featuring the Bible teaching of Dr. Miguel Gonzalez. It is when we see the decay, destruction, and corruption around us that we realize the value and necessity of the Bible. In contrast to the world, the Bible is inexhaustible, inextinguishable, and life-giving. In part two of God's provision for spiritual growth, Dr. Gonzalez looks at five specific ways the believer is to use God's word to ensure spiritual growth. We must believe it, study it, honor it, love it, and obey it. A clear reminder that no spiritual growth takes place without the Word of God.
We've been speaking about growing our faith. And what are the keys, the essentials that help us go from being newborn infants to the kind of people that God can use to further the cause of His kingdom and to bring more into the kingdom of Christ. And last week we started discussing that the most important or fundamental key that we have above all is the Word of God. Yes, we need the Holy Spirit to help us understand the Scriptures, but the point is He helps us understand the Scriptures. Without the Scriptures, there's nothing the Spirit can communicate to us, because we would have nothing by way of revelation from God. It is imperative that we understand the importance and the role of Scripture in the life of the believer, and for that matter, in the life of the unbeliever, for it is the Word of God that God uses in order to convict and bring life to those who are dead spiritually. There are many who believe and give a high place to the Word of God. They believe it to be an important text. They believe it to be authoritative, but they don't believe it to be the only source for faith and practice that the Christians have. By that I mean that there are many other churches or denominations who hold other writings or dogmas or teachings up to the par of Scripture, even though the Scriptures may not teach that which they do. We need to be fundamentally clear on this point. Two of the most fundamental causes for the Protestant Reformation were, one, God bringing the church back to its most fundamental teaching and the very message that the church was to proclaim, and that is that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. You see, there was a time in church history where the gospel message had been perverted and corrupted and changed to say something that had not been believed or held or taught historically by the church. The second item was the sufficiency of Scripture in the life of the church, and by that I mean in the life of everybody who makes up the church, meaning you and me as Christians. According to the reformers who went back to the Word of God to once for all settle this issue, they said, because the Scripture teaches that only the Word of God is that rule that we have that is sufficient for faith in practice. We do not dare teach something that we cannot find support for in the Word of God, because then it's one of those issues that can become a teaching in an institution that may lead people away from the centrality of God and the centrality of Scripture through those kinds of teachings. So having said that, let's go ahead and cover today's session. We said last week that the Scriptures are fundamental because, one, they are alive, two, they give life, three, they sustain spiritual life, and four, they transform lives. And we also said in closing last week that spiritual maturity requires, on the part of the Christian, commitment. Without our participation in the process of sanctification, we will not grow and experience life as God meant it to be experienced. Having said that, and having sort of covered what we talked about last week, let's go into today's portion. How do we use the Word of God in order to grow spiritually? Now, there's a great deal of controversy. There are those people who would argue that nobody should read the Scriptures because nobody has the ability to correctly interpret the Scriptures. If you choose to believe that, then at least be man or woman enough and say that that is your belief because that is what you want to believe and not because it's what the Bible teaches. The Bible explicitly teaches and commands believers to study the Scriptures and to correctly divide the Word of Truth and to study them in order to be able to give people a reason for the hope that is in them. If anybody tells me that I should allow somebody else to interpret the Scriptures for me, and I adopt that philosophy and I live by that philosophy, I am sinning because I am violating a clear command of Scripture to study for myself and to allow the Spirit of God, the interpreter of Scripture, to bring out the meaning of the passages so that I may grow in my spiritual faith. Yes, we are given by God theologians and scholars who help contributing their own writings about Scripture and about interpretation and about the books of the Bible and about the doctrines of the church, but they are not to take the place of Scripture. And if anything they say or write contradicts Scripture, we reject their writings and go always with what the Scripture clearly teaches. How do we use the Bible to grow spiritually? First of all, we must believe it. Now, easier said than done. Because when we say that we must believe the Bible, and if we are Christians who believe that the Bible is the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God, and if we believe in the all-sufficiency of Scripture, we're saying that you are to believe everything the Scripture teaches. There are those out there who say that not everything in Scripture is inspired, that certain parts of Scripture are inspired and certain parts are not. Well, who's to decide, first of all, which parts are inspired and which are not? All of those people who argue that only certain passages or certain portions of Scripture are inspired and are not can't even come to a consensus as to which portions of Scripture are inspired. Listen, we are not given the luxury to decide what part of the Word of God is true and what part is not. God has not given us that privilege, that right. He has simply stated that here is my revelation. This is my truth to you. You are to believe it all. We can't just walk up and choose to believe this and choose not to believe that because that's inconvenient and that convicts me and I don't like the way I feel when I read those passages, but I love this one, so this one I believe. You are to believe it all in its entirety, every word of it, because it is the inspired and inerrant Word of God. Listen to this conversation taking place between Jesus and Peter. In John chapter 6, verse 68, I'll read it in context. Verse 66, I'll start. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. No longer followed Jesus. I wonder what he said that caused them to turn away from him. I wonder what it is that we find in the pages of Scripture that causes us never to open that part of the Bible again. I wonder what it is. And he said in verse 67, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" And he's talking to the disciples. Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him. Listen to what Simon Peter says. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." I don't know what it is that Jesus often said, but he sure caused people to turn away. And Peter was given enough insight to realize that, yes, they could choose to turn from Jesus. But Peter was given this insight. I can leave if I want to, but if I go, where do I go? Since there's nobody else out there who has the words of eternal life but you, Jesus. When we accept the Bible for what it is, the inerrant, infallible, inspired, and all-sufficient, authoritative Word of God, then we have all we could possibly need to reach maturity. For the non-believer, doubting the truths God has revealed in the Bible could lead to never experiencing spiritual rebirth. Do you see the danger? If you are not a Christian, and you're not a Christian because you have an issue with what the Bible says, be man or woman enough to stand up and say you reject it because you don't want to believe it, not because it's not true. But if you reject what the Bible teaches, you expose yourself and put yourself out to be eternally condemned. For in the pages of Scripture, and Scripture alone, is where we find the cure to our disease called sin. If you want to reject it, reject it. You're not obligated by God to believe anything, but do it at your own peril. Do it understanding that your choice carries consequences. Second point, not only believe it, but study it. I know, I'm cutting into your personal time now. In teaching a class at a church, I commented that a survey had been done, a poll had been done, in which the pollsters wanted to determine how much time people were actually spending studying the Word of God. And they concluded from their studies that on average, Christians were spending no more than the time it took for two commercial breaks to take in a televised program. Think about this. On average, the study revealed that most Christians spend no more than, on average, 8 to 10 minutes in the Word of God. Two commercial breaks. And you expect to grow up to be who? 10 minutes a day? What would happen to you if you ate food for 10 minutes a day and that's all you did? Well, why are you surprised when it happens spiritually? Acts 18:24. Listen to what Luke says. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. How do you think he became a learned and knowledgeable man of the Scriptures? He studied the Scriptures. Another passage that we can talk about in talking about how to use the Word of God in order to grow spiritually is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Listen to what Paul said. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. How do you grow spiritually? You study the Word of God. And you spend more than 10 minutes a day doing that. I guarantee you, if you're a college student or a high school student, I guarantee you, you're probably a D or an F average student if all you do is spend 10 minutes a day doing homework. You spend more time doing homework in order to achieve success in school, but dedicate 10 minutes of your life a day in order to achieve what spiritually? Another point. Not only are we to believe it, not only are we to study it, we are to honor the Word of God. Listen to what the author of Proverbs tells us. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 14 and 15. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. What is he talking about? Listen, don't pay God lip service. Don't pay the Bible lip service. The Word, according to the author of Proverbs, the Word of God is precious, and it requires that we honor it for what it is, the inerrant, inspired, and infallible Word of God. Another thing we are to do, we are to love the Word of God. Yes, we are to love the Word of God. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Do you love the Word of God? You should. Last thing I want to say. This is where we get personal. Not only are we to believe it, not only are we to study it, not only are we to honor it and love it, but we are to obey it. Listen, we are to obey the Word of God. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Did you hear that? Listen, forget about the plastic life that gives the appearance that you love God. Forget about the life, the hypocritical life that gives the appearance that you love the Word. If you don't obey the Word, you don't love the Word. And if you don't love the Word, you will not honor the Word. Forget about the lip service. God's not concerned with your offerings and burnt sacrifices. What He wants is obedience to His Word. Obedience is ultimately the only appropriate response to God's Word. You love Jesus only to the extent that you're willing to obey what He says. Does not the Bible say that if we claim to be Christians, we ought to walk just as He walked? You want a picture of obedience? Wasn't it Jesus our Lord who said, "Not my will, but thine will be done"? Forget about lip service. You only love Jesus to the extent that you're willing to obey Him. You know why a lot of people don't go to church? Because we're there. They see us during the week. And they know we claim to be Christians, but what they see is something very different. And you know why they see something very different? Because on Sunday, we honor and love the Word of God because we have to. But Monday through Friday, true colors come out. And you know why people won't go to church? Because you and I go to church. And they see what we are like during the week. Why would they want to spend a Sunday, a Lord's Day, with us? The honor of the church and the honor and reputation of Jesus is on us. The world will only see Jesus through us. I've often said, your life is a sermon. What did you just get done preaching this last week? Were you obedient to the Word of God? God's Word is the fundamental, the essential key to spiritual growth, because it opens up everything else in the spiritual realm. Forget about formulas. Forget about mysticism. Forget about special phenomena and experiences. It's commitment and work and yielding and surrendering and loving and being filled and being obedient to the teaching and words of Christ. I'm not going to read the passage, but turn to Nehemiah chapter 8. And read that chapter. And you will find that the great revival in Nehemiah's day resulted from the people urging them to read the scriptures to them. And as they listened, their hearts were awakened. Why? Because the Word of God is alive. Because it gives life. They were convicted, they were cleansed, they were built up, and as a result, they responded in obedience. How hungry are you for personal revival and personal growth? Is Christianity just a part of you, or is Christianity who you are?
Today's podcast was brought to you by Time in the Word. As God ministers to you through this series of studies, and as you experience God's love and grace in your own life, share these podcasts with others so that they too may be blessed by God's Word and His amazing grace. Time in the Word with Bible teacher Dr. Miguel Gonzalez is a ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries, a ministry committed to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the clear exposition of God's Word. For additional resources, or if you've enjoyed listening to this podcast and would like to support the ongoing efforts of this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.rffiministries.org.